I wonder what it is that excites you. What is it that rocks your boat, as it were? What is it that you would give anything to be part of? Or who is it, perhaps, you would give anything to meet? You'd move everything that was in the way in order to meet this person. What is it you never miss on TV? What is it you set your video recorder or your DVD recorder to make sure that you get? Is it Match of the Day? Is it the proms? What is it? What football team would you take any opportunity to go and see? Would it be Manchester United? Would it be Chelsea? Would it be Southampton or Portsmouth? Would you give anything to go and see some of those teams? Do you wish this morning that you'd been able to go and see the Ashes? Are they the things that are precious to you? Perhaps you're not that way inclined. Perhaps this morning you're not a sports fan. Perhaps you're more of a music buff. And if you were able to go and see your favourite pop group, you would give anything to be able to do it. You'd give up anything in order to be able to achieve that. Are you somebody who likes the music from the 70s? Would it be Madness or Queen? And you think, yeah, I'd really love to go listen to them in concert. Are you a little bit older than that? Or perhaps a little bit more selective? Would you be more the Glenn Miller type? You think, yes, I'm Glenn Miller tribute band. I'd go and listen to those, whatever it cost me. Perhaps you're more of a Cliff Richards fan. There's a lady in our church. You just mention the name Cliff Richards and she goes all weak at the knees, shall we say. Perhaps you're more of an Arctic Monkey fan and it'd be the Arctic Monkeys. You'd go anywhere to listen to them play in. Or the Editors or the Gentlemen. Perhaps the list could be endless. But perhaps I'm talking about things this morning that you find a bit mundane. Think, well, I wouldn't want to do any of those. Just a bit boring, really. Perhaps you're more of a Michael Schumacher or a Lewis Hamilton, and you'd like to be racing around the racetrack in a sports car. Perhaps you'd like to be out here, windsurfing or sailing on the water, and that would really make your day. It would really excite you. Perhaps you're a bit more extreme than that. And you'd love to be bungee jumping somewhere off the tallest building or the highest crane that could be found. Boinging up and down on the edge of the big elastic band. Perhaps you would have rather have been in Bristol last night where they had a balloon festival. And you would have loved to have been up in one of those hot air balloons. Towering over Bristol. I think, yes, if I could have done one of those things, that would really make my life complete. It would be all that I could ask for. Or would it be meeting the cast of Neighbours? Or meeting the cast of Home and Away? Or Emmerdale Farm? Or Coronation Street? Are these the sort of things that you would really plan and love to do? I wonder. And I wonder if you had an invite to do one of those things. How would you respond to that invite? We all get invites, don't we? We get invites most weeks through the post. They normally invite us to spend money, and they normally involve us spending money and somebody else making money. Don't very often involve us actually making any money. But we get them all the time. And you say, thank you, but no thank you. And I'm sure you've been there when the phone has rung and you've picked the phone up, hoping it's somebody you want to speak to. And it's an invite from somebody to change your mobile phone supplier. Or it's an invite from somewhere else to change your gas or your water supplier. And you say, well, thank you, but no thank you. What if you're like one of the guys in our church? He began talking to the lady on the other end and kept her on the phone for half an hour. Wanted to know where she was, what she was doing, would she have lunch with him, etc., etc. He's a married man in his late 60s, and he just thought it would be fun to do that. He engaged her for half an hour in conversation. But seriously, folks, what do you do with invites? We recently had an invite to a wedding. The question is, how would we respond? Well, we could have said, no, I'm not going. But the problem was, I was taking the wedding. So we had to respond in the right way to the invite. We say, yes, great. Thank you for the invite. We are going to be there. The passage we read this morning, the two passages, they both involve an invite. They involve Jesus turning to people and saying, follow me. Follow me. And they hinge partly on the invite and partly on the response to the invite. Now, there are many of you this morning, I've got no doubt, who can look back to a day in your life. You may not be able to put a date exactly on the day, but you can look back to a time in your life when you knew that Jesus had sent you an invite. You knew either through somebody preaching or through a testimony of a friend or through whatever means, you knew that Jesus was sending an invite that day, and you knew that your name was on the invite. I'm sure we've been there. We've sat in a service, or we've sat at home and we've been reading the Bible, or somebody's been talking to us, and it's as if God is there in the room with us, and it's as if he's talking to us as individuals. I can remember the day I was converted as if it was yesterday. I still get goosebumps when I think about it. But I can remember it exactly as it happened. You responded to their invite. There were two men at Haringey in 54 when Billy Graham was there. And both men responded to the invite in one way or the other. One man's name was Peter Jeffries, and he's a pastor of the gospel. And the other man's name was David Frost. He wanted nothing to do with the gospel. They responded in different ways to an invite from God. But what's it all about? What was his invite that Jesus was given to these disciples? What is the invite that Jesus has given to other people? And how do you respond to an invite from God? Well, the invite that Jesus gave the first disciples was by word of mouth, wasn't it? He didn't send it by post. There wasn't a Roman centurion or somebody who arrived alongside the disciples with a tablet or a written document and said, this is from Jesus and he wants you to read it. Jesus actually spoke to them. He spoke to them. And if you're a believer here this morning, there's a message there for us, or for you. Jesus spoke the invite. Do we speak an invite to non-believers? Do we live lives in such a way as Christians that when we invite people to things, they know that it's going to be something worth coming to? They know, because of the effect that Jesus had on our lives, that if we're inviting them, they need to be there. Do they feel that compulsion? I need what that guy's got, or what that lady's got. I want some of that. A guy who was converted in our church at Homegate, he'd been a drug user. He'd been into everything you could imagine. He was soundly converted. And about 2 months later, his wife came to the pastor. It was before I came. The wife came to the pastor. I need to become a Christian. I need what Andy's got. Because she could see the huge difference it had made. It'd be transformed. She knew it wasn't her. She was the same wife she'd always been. She knew it must have been a father. And she wanted what he had. Can people see that in your life if you're a believer this morning? Do they want what you've got? And if they do, do we give them the invite? Do we say, nothing of me, and you can have it too? And then do we take opportunity to either talk to them themselves or to bring them into situations where they come under the sound of the gospel? I know Andy was with you for a number of years. God willing, whoever your next pastor is will be here for a number of years. But your pastor can only invite so many people. How many people do your pastor see in a week? If he sees 20 in a week, he's lucky. Fortunate. But if every one of you just saw one person a week and invited them, what a difference that would make. Huge difference. We need, as believers, to be willing to invite. But if you're a non-believer this morning, let's look at how these disciples responded to Jesus. Can you imagine if you were out there, somebody was telling me this morning that they have fishing competitions along the shore here. So can you imagine you're coming to church on a Sunday morning and you see a young man taking part in a fishing competition and you decide to go and talk to him. And he says, what do you do? You say, well, I'm a carpenter. Oh, my dad was a carpenter and I've done a bit of carpentry. Well, Kai's on fishing. You say, well, do you know what? You know, if you cast your rod a little bit further over and your line a little bit further over, perhaps you'll catch something then. Well, this guy's probably been fishing for 20 years. Is he going to listen to you? Or is he going to say, excuse me, I'm the fisherman. You're the carpenter. I know what I'm doing. I wonder if that's how the disciples felt with Jesus. Hey, hang on now, Jesus. We've been out all night. Our arms are aching. Our fingers are raw. We pulled the net in. We pushed it out. We pulled it. And we caught nothing. And now you were telling us to go deeper. So we're going to row further. And then put the nets in again. But they didn't respond like that. They knew there was something different about this Jesus. They knew that if they responded to him, something would happen. And they responded. And we see that the boat wasn't just full, but it was full overflowing. So they bring another boat out, and that's full to overflowing. I don't know if you've ever seen the boats that sail on Galilee. We're not talking here about a little rowing boat. We're talking about quite a big fishing boat. Albeit they didn't have engines, they had oars, but they were quite big boats. And when they were full of fish, it was a lot of fish. But even then, we don't see them, well, thank you, Jesus, for that. We'll see you again. They listen to what Jesus has got to say. And they follow Jesus. They give up their livelihood and they follow Jesus. Perhaps to some of you this morning. Perhaps the question is in your mind, Lord, how are you leading me? How are you guiding me? Should I give up my job to serve you? This may be a word for you this morning. That God is saying, yes. Just as my disciples who give up their job to follow me, I want you to give up your job to serve me. As in all invites, the disciples had to do something with it. They responded to the invite. We often get it at the bottom of an invite, don't we? RSVP. Disciples respond. The question is this morning, folks, for you guys. Perhaps some of you have been here time and time again. And you've heard the gospel time and time again. Have you ever responded to Jesus? Have you ever said, Lord, I want to respond to your invite. I want to know you as Lord and Saviour. I want to know your rule in my life. I want to know you leading and guiding me. And because of that, I'm going to ask you to come into my life. See, there needs to be a response on our part to the gospel as well. But when an invite comes, isn't it? Surely we ask questions. We ask, who's it from? Do we know them? Are they friends? Are they somebody from the past? Are they family friends? Are they complete strangers? We've got no idea who they are and we get an invite. Somebody phoned me the other day and started talking to me on the phone. I still don't know who they were. They put the phone down. They said goodbye. They knew my name. I looked at the number after. I still don't know who they were. Are we like that with invites sometimes? Do we get invites and people think, I got no idea who this is of? Who they are, where they're from? What if we had an invite from the Queen? Would you respond? Would you go? I wonder if anyone here has ever been to a garden party at the palace. I haven't, but I know people who have. And they said, you know the first thing they did? They went, wow, the Queen's invited me to a garden party. And then they responded. They knew they had to send back to say they were going. Because if they didn't send back, somebody else would get invited instead. They knew they had to respond to the invite. What about an invite from the King of Kings? What about an invite with your name written on it? And it says at the top, admit, and your name is in it. You know what, if you're not a believer here this morning, that's what Jesus is doing. He's saying to you this morning, I'm giving you an invite. I'm giving you an invite to heaven. I'm giving you an invite to eternal life. To knowing me day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. Not just for now, but for eternity. An invite to you personally. Now you might be thinking, huh, I'm not going to respond to any invite from Jesus unless I actually see him. Unless he stands before me and invites me. Well, we are warned in Scripture against that. People saw Moses. People saw the prophets and the incredible things that they did. People actually saw Jesus. And they still didn't respond. They still say, I'm not interested. And we can make all sorts of excuses for not responding. I wonder if I was to say the name Bernard Langer this morning. If anyone could tell me who he is or what he does. Anyone know? Bernard Langer? No? Are you all very shy or is it just you really don't know? Golf. Right, see, they knew they were being shy. I knew somebody would know. He's a golfer. He's a German golfer. He was number one in the world for a long time. And you'd think he had everything. You'd think that was it. He's got more money than he can ever spend. And you'd think that must be all you need in life. So Bernard Langer, one year, he won a competition called the US Masters, which would be like winning the FA Cup in this country. It's the pinnacle of golf, almost, apart from the Cup of the British Open. And he really thought he'd made it in life. He thought, this is it. I've won everything. I can't win anymore. Life is complete for me. And he said he remembers putting on the green jacket, which they wear after winning the Masters. He said, and I remember putting the jacket on and thinking, is that it? Is that it? And a Christian, an American golfer who was a Christian, called, I think it was Larry Mize, began to speak to him. And Bernard Langer began to realize there was something more to life than winning golf. There was something more to life than money. There was something more to life that he couldn't get for himself. And he began to realize that he needed to know Jesus as his Savior. He had so much money he couldn't spend it. He had homes in Europe. And homes in the States. And very shortly after, he was converted. And he turned round and he said to folks who knew him and folks who were around him, my life is now complete. He'd realized that all the fame and fortune he had meant nothing compared to knowing Jesus. Fantastic thing is, a fortnight later, his wife was converted as well, which was brilliant. And he really is an ambassador for God. But he had it all as far as the world was concerned. He had fame, he had fortune, but it was nothing because he didn't know Jesus. There was a space in his life that he couldn't fill, but only God could. He responded to the invite that Jesus gave him. What are you invited to? When an invite comes, it tells what it's for, doesn't it? Whether it's a wedding, whether it's an anniversary, whether it's a specific special occasion. But that's not what Jesus was inviting his disciples to. That's not what he's inviting us to either. He's inviting us to a relationship with the King of Kings. You're already here this morning because you've been invited. You might think you came here this morning because you felt like coming. No. You came here this morning because God planted that seed in your mind that you needed to be at Netley Fellowship this morning. It'd been far easier to have rolled over and gone back to sleep and then gone for a walk along the beach or along the Solent. But no, God planted that seed in your mind. You need to be at Netley Fellowship this morning. I want you there. You're not here by chance. And God has invited you as an individual here this morning. And he's talking to you as an individual this morning. Not the person next to you, or the person in front of you, or the person behind you. But you, as an individual. How would you respond? How would you respond to an invite like that? An invite to all your sins forgiven. An invite to eternal life. An invite to somewhere where there's no more weeping and no more crying. Where there's no more pain and no more death. An invite to knowing somebody walking beside you every day of your life. An invite to knowing somebody who'll wrap their arms around you when the going's tough. An invite from somebody who says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Perhaps you're thinking, heard it before. I'll do it one day. Went to a funeral last week of a guy who was 64. Not old by today's standards in any stretch of the imagination. He'd gone up to Turnberry to see the Open Golf, and he died on the 16th stand. Sat down, and he died. No real history of ill health or anything. Sat down, and he died. None of us know what tomorrow brings, folks. Bible tells us now is the day of salvation. In other words, now is the time to know Jesus. Now is the time to respond, not put it off. If you're a Christian here this morning, is God saying to you, now is the time to talk to your neighbour. Now is the time to talk to that friend. You may not be there tomorrow. Now is the time. Perhaps you say, well, I don't have time. I don't have time to respond to God. I don't have time for all this church stuff. Question is, folks, have you got time not to? Because we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know if tomorrow will come. An invite to a relationship with the King of Kings. An invite to heaven. An invite to the marriage supper of the Lamb. An invite to where all your past sins have been forgiven. All your present sins have been forgiven. And the future is cared for. The future in God's presence. Knowing his leading and knowing his guiding. Thing is, folks, this morning, nobody else can respond for you. Nobody else could respond for these disciples. Somebody couldn't say to the Jesus, excuse me, Lord, I'll come instead of them. No. Jesus invited them as individuals. Nobody could make the decision for them. Nobody could say, Simon Peter will come. He's over there, Lord. Will you come? Couldn't do that. Same with us. Nobody can make the decision for us. Your mum or your dad or your auntie or your uncle or your friend, they may be Christians. But they can't say to you, or they can't say to God, they'll become a Christian, God, because I'll pay for them. Only Jesus can do that. Nobody else. And if you're a believer here this morning, God has got works for you to do. The Bible tells us he has prepared in advance for you to do. Are you doing those works? When Jesus says to you, or puts you in contact with somebody, do you do the work that he's called you to do in that situation? Do you build that friendship? Do you work at building that friendship? Or do you say, well, I phoned them twice, Lord, last year. Well, I invited them to one thing and they couldn't come, and I'll invite them to any more. But what if Jesus had done that to us? What if he had invited us once and we'd said no? Did he say, well, I'm not inviting you anymore? You didn't come last time. No. He invited, and he invited, and he invited, and he invited. And he kept inviting. Perhaps it's a friend that Jesus wants you to do that to. To build that bridge, to build that relationship. To develop it until the point comes. We're told in 2 Peter, aren't we, to always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have. Have thought about what that verse means? To give a reason for the hope that we have? Suggestion there, isn't it? It's somebody's asked you a question. Somebody said to you, why do you believe? Why do you go to church? Why do you pray? Do we live lives in that way? So people will say, why do you believe? Why do you pray? So that we can give an answer when they ask us that question. But if you're not a believer this morning, have you responded to that invite of Jesus? What if you say, well, not really for me, Lord. Well, it is for you. That's why Jesus is inviting you, because it is for you. And Jesus tells us that the plans he has for us, as we said, we were praying, are the best for us. Not the worst, the best. So the life that you know in Jesus, or you can know in Jesus, is better than the life you've got now. And it doesn't matter how brilliant the life you've got now is. It's better. Because he only wants the best for us. He'll never take us backwards. He takes us forwards. He takes us to better things, to greater things. How do we respond? As believers, is Jesus inviting us this morning? Is Jesus saying to us this morning, I want you to do more. I want you to be involved more. I want you to speak to people more. I want you to be the ones who give out my invites. I want you to be part of that. I want you to invite people to things. I want you to invite people into your home. I want you to invite people to spend time with you, to play golf with you, to play tennis with you, whatever it is. So you put yourself in a position where they ask the question, why do you believe what you believe? They're uncomfortable things, aren't they? We need to go outside our comfort zone sometimes, because most of us don't naturally do that. Most of us naturally stick with our own friends, in our own situation, and we closet ourselves to a certain extent because we feel safe, we feel protected. Perhaps Jesus is saying to you this morning, step out of that comfort zone. I've prepared the way, I'm going to be with you, and I want you to step out. I want you to make those questions, to cause those decisions, to be in those situations. We're called to be salt and light, aren't we? The problem is with salt, in our house anyway, it lives in a salt cellar. Unless we shake it and get it out, it'll always live in a salt cellar. Well, we can be like that as Christians. We can live in churches. We can live in houses. We can live in our own little relationship with God. And we never get shaken. We never get spread out and around. And we wonder why we don't have much effect. Perhaps it's because we're not listening. Because we're not responding to the invite that Jesus gives us to go and invite others. But this morning, folks, if you're not a believer, I can't offer you money or wealth or fame. If you went to my wallet, the money you'd find in, I wouldn't take you very far. But there's an invite this morning that we've seen these disciples respond to. An invite to knowing the King of Kings. An invite to knowing the future is secure, not in our hands, but in God's hands. I can't make you a Christian. Nobody else here this morning can make you a Christian. Can't do it. Wish we could. Wish we could. Only God can do that through his Son, the Lord Jesus.